Let us pray before we continue our series in Mark's Gospel. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks. We thank you for your word and that it shows us Jesus in his goodness and glory. We pray that as we look now at this passage, you would open our eyes to see him again and that we would marvel afresh at his power over the sea. Amen. Well, it was time for the annual youth camp at Yarri Lake, and we were sitting around watching the young people in the water, and it was getting towards the end of the day. And you know that time of the day when the water just becomes a bit like glass? And my mate, who was nearby, suddenly said, "You know, I think it's perfect conditions." I had no idea what he was talking about. But he jumped up, he grabbed a milk crate, and he rushed to the water's edge, and he waded in the first few feet. He placed the milk crate in the water with its top just below the surface. And then he stood on the crate and posed as if he was walking. And right on cue, his wife immediately grabbed a camera and took the photo, proof that her husband walks on water. Walking on water is one of the most famous miracles of Jesus. Indeed, my mate wasn't the only one who tries to recreate that picture. All around the world it happens, and they try and look like they're walking on water. But of course, they aren't walking on water. It's just a trick of the light. It's just a photo. But today, we're not looking at a trick. We're looking at the original miracle in all its glory. And we'll also be contemplating its significance. What does it mean? But before we look at that, there's something to notice in verse 46. Have a look at verse 46 again with me. After leaving them, he went up on a mountainside to pray. In this verse, we see Jesus once again taking time out to be alone and to pray to God. And it's an interesting choice because Jesus has a very busy ministry. But he sends the people away deliberately and he prays by himself. We see it again and again in the Gospels. The accounts of Jesus' life. We saw the same thing at the end of chapter 1 in Mark's Gospel, and now we see it again here in chapter 6. Time alone in prayer is something that Jesus seems to regularly do. And we don't know if this was a recharging the battery activity, or whether it was a grounding activity, or whether it was a relational activity with the Father. It was most likely all three. But the important thing to note is that he's there doing that activity. He's spending time alone in prayer. Now, it probably goes without saying, but as followers of Jesus, then, we ought also to be spending time in prayer. That is a very hard thing to do in the busyness of modern life. We live today such programmed lives. It's sometimes hard to find time for anything extra. So the trick is, we ought not to consider it as something extra. It's not an extra to be added in if we have time. It's actually something that's part of our daily routine. Scheduling time into each day for time alone in prayer. It's a good idea to make prayer with God part of our programmed activities. And then we can add in other prayers as and when we can. It's a great thing to follow Jesus' example in this matter. But let's read on. Verse 47. Later that night, the boat was in the middle of the lake and he was on the land. He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. Shortly before dawn, he went out to them walking on the lake. Jesus, we read, walks on water. He sees the disciples struggling in the boat and walks out to them on the surface of the water. Now, if we were to call this an amazing feat, we'd probably be underselling it quite a bit. When you have Olympics on, you might notice that Olympians do amazing feats of speed, of strength, of endurance, of holding your breath underwater if you're doing synchronized swimming. These are amazing feats. But the thing about all of them are that they are humanly possible. But what we're looking at here is something that is impossible for humans. I don't know any Olympian, and I'm pretty sure you don't either, who could walk on the surface of the water. It's just not humanly possible, even with the best training at the Australian Institute of Sport. It's still not possible. And so what we are witnessing here is not an amazing feat, but an outstanding miracle. And friends, the problem with knowing our Bibles well is that sometimes that can lead us to being casual and relaxed with things that should amaze us. We can shrug our shoulders and say, yep, Jesus walks on water. I know that. Indeed, it becomes part of our very language. But when we understand that Jesus is doing something that completely defies the laws of physics, he's doing something that no one else in all of recorded history, apart from his disciple Peter, but that's another story, has ever done, something that is completely and utterly impossible for mere humans to do in their own power, then we realize afresh what an amazing miracle this is. And we would then be thinking that the disciple, if we were to realize it afresh, we'd think what the disciples think in the next verse. Because they jump to the logical conclusion. He was about to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost. So the disciples are thinking that this couldn't possibly be the real physical Jesus. After all, a real physical person walking on water would sink. That's what normally happens. And so therefore, their mind leaps towards a possible explanation that this thing that they are seeing clearly can't be physical. He must be a ghost. It's interesting, isn't it? So amazing is this miracle that the idea that they're seeing a ghost is more plausible than what's actually happening. Surely flesh and blood can't walk on the surface of the water. Therefore, he must be a ghost. Now, these days we would tend to think it's a trick of the light. Or like my mate with a cleverly placed milk crate under the surface, a bit of a hoax, a bit of a lark. Or we might think, if we're looking at a screen image, that it's something that is a computer-generated image or something that's been photoshopped. But we would also, like the disciples at this point, conclude this cannot be a real physical person. We would rule that out as well. But Mark goes on to give us several clues that gives us confidence that what we're looking at here is not something that's fake, but rather something that's very real, a very real Jesus. Let's look at them in verse 50 and 51. Immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." Then he climbed into the boat with them and the wind died down and they were completely amazed. The first clue that you see is the location of the boat. Where is the boat? Well, we learnt from verse 47, the boat was in the middle of the lake. So that rules out Jesus walking along a sandbank near the seashots, the shore, or even the ancient equivalent of a series of milk crates under the water, some kind of hidden causeway. We're talking in the middle of a great big lake. That rules out some kind of, lark If we were to translate that today, it'd be the equivalent of walking out into the middle of Pijar Dam when it's full. The water is simply too deep for something, for it to be a lark. The second clue is there in the words of Jesus identifying himself. You see there in verses 50 and 51, he speaks. And the thing about tricks of the light are that they don't speak. They are visual by their very nature. So it rules out a trick of the light. The third clue is that Jesus gets into the boat with them. And this is the biggest clue of all, because what can you do in a small fishing boat? You can reach out and touch the person, can't you? So they could test that it was a physical being in the boat with them, which of course rules out the concept of a ghost. And so what we see is three big clues here that tell us that it's definitely a physical and living Jesus walking on the water to them. And it points to the truth that this amazing miracle really and truly happened. That it's not a fake, and that Jesus actually did walk on the surface of the water on the Sea of Galilee. And not on the edge, in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. And so we can conclude that although it's amazing, it's also true and is no fake at all. And it should have told the disciples something about Jesus. Look at verse 52. They were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. Mark tells us that this miracle should have been no surprise to the disciples after the feeding of the 5,000. They were ancient Jews who knew their nation's history. And so they should have understood about Jesus. But they hadn't. And we can assume that at the end of this passage that they still don't get it, because we're told that their hearts had been hardened. That is, God was preventing them from understanding the significance of what they saw for a time. And this part of Mark's Gospel up to chapter 8 has a lot to do with this struggle and failure of the disciples to understand Jesus. They are still struggling with the question they asked back in chapter 4. Who is this man? But Mark wants us to ponder and think about this miracle and ask ourselves, what does this reveal about Jesus? For by doing this miracle, Jesus has revealed something about himself. He's not doing this for fun. He's doing this as a statement to say something about himself. And we understand this particularly if we know Israel's history. So friends, as you enjoy morning tea this morning, or if you spend time alone with God this week, or if you meet up with a friend for coffee, then let me encourage you to ponder the meaning of this miracle, the statement that is being made by Jesus about himself here. And a good place to start is to think about what other amazing miracles involve a large body of water in the Bible. There's a big hint there. What other miracles involve a large body of water? So there's a good thing to think about and discuss, because Mark believes this miracle reveals something about Jesus, something very special. So what is he getting at? I'll leave you with that challenge. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks. We thank you for the Lord Jesus and for what we see here in Mark's Gospel, where he shows his absolute power over the sea. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that we would understand that power, that greatness, And we would trust Jesus all the more. And we pray and ask that we would trust him through everything that life sends. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.